Take your Bible, turn to book of Luke, chapter number 10. Book of Luke, chapter number 10. It's good to have this morning my cousin's daughter. What's that make her to me? Second cousin? Third? No. Huh? Second? Okay, I don't want you talking to her though, because she knows some things about me that you don't need to know. All right. And she told me one of them this morning. I'd forgotten all about that. Anyways, let's go to have her. It was interesting because she and Ethan met on the job, and it was actually Facebook. He kept seeing his name on there, that he ought to add them as a friend. And I guess, what did he do, show you that or something? And she said, well, that's my uncle. And I thought, wow. And that's the uncle, Chad, that lives down the same town your folks are in. So whatever the name of that town is. Yeah. It is Warsaw, isn't it? Hmm? You, oh, okay. I don't know. He moved since I was down there, so it's my excuse. All right, Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. We're going to look at today at the mission of the 70. And I've, in my genius mind, have come up with this title, The Mission of the 70. I wish somewhere along the line I could learn how to make really catchy titles. And that's never been my deal. Let's look here. Chapter number 10. We're going to look at verse number 1. And let's read a little ways so you get the background and backdrop, and go back and look at it perhaps a little bit more intently in just a few moments. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in that same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye come, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it should be more tolerable in that day for Sodom and for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despises you despises me. And he that despises me despises him that sent me. We're going to have prayer. We're going to go farther than that day, I believe. But we're going to have prayer. And I want to, in this section, look at the calling of the 70 and the commission that was given to them. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the word of God. We pray that you might bless every heart from its pages and the beautiful words, these inspired words. Lord, we thank you for direction we can get. Thank you for comfort we can get. We thank you, oh Lord, for all that you do through your word in our lives. We even must say thank you for the conviction it brings upon our soul for that which is wrong in our lives, that we might see the right adjustments. We pray that you will bless in this hour. I pray for the power and anointing of the Spirit of God, not only this mouth, but the hearers, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If we go back to verse number 1 and 2, we find here what I just simply described, their calling. Their calling. And we notice here that he goes out and he calls 70 men, and he's telling them to go two by two. So there's going to be 35 groups of men who are going to go from that place, and I believe there's probably a good reason for that. Back in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, there's a couple of verses that says, well, let me read it. It says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. First of all, let me ask you this. Have you ever fallen? And I don't mean physically. Have you ever fallen as a Christian? Let's put it this way. Have you ever failed as a Christian? Yeah, it happens, does it not? But he tells us something very unique here, and that is, and by the way, this is a responsibility, and one of the great things about a local church is we can help our brothers up. It's not for us to tromp them down, but it is for us to lift up, to build. One of the words that I use often to talk about the purpose of the church is the word edify. And the word edify simply means to build up. And here he's telling them to go out two by two. And I believe the reason is they might be an encouragement one to another. If you're working on a job somewhere and you're the only one that stands for Christ and you start speaking for him, it can be very discouraging. It can be very fearful, as a matter of fact. But if you know there's somebody else, what a difference that makes. I remember when I was in Bible college, I worked for Pontiac Motors. And I worked in the axle department. It was a huge place. I suppose that that building itself, where they made the axles, was about as big as our entire properties here. And all that under roof. And that was only one part of it. And so all the gears and all the things that went into making the rear axle. And I'd worked there about a year. And, you know, I tried to witness some and what have you, but wasn't really too successful. And then another fellow from school got on. His name was Warren McAllister. And it gave me a boldness, gave him a boldness. And we started doing something. We started meeting on a stack of parts, and I had arranged them so we could sit on them because I drove a forklift truck. And we started inviting men over, and we had Bible study together. As a result of that, a young man came to church with us, got saved, went to the ministry, pastored for many years out in Ohio area, if I remember correctly. By the way, just this year, Warren McAllister went home to be with the Lord. And at my age, you start seeing a lot of that. Anyways, what an encouragement that is, two by two. We also notice here that they were given a job somewhat like John the Baptist. They were to go as forerunners. Notice what he said in the last few words there in verse number 1, whither he himself would come. And so they were to prepare communities for his final ministry, which was at hand. Okay? And then I believe that he is giving to them a prayer that they needed to pray. And he's talking about it in verse number 2, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, and the laborers are few. And what to say? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And of course, their prayer then was that they would have others that they would reach that could even expand that ministry from there. One of the neatest things in the ministry is you win somebody to Christ, you see them come to know him as Savior, and then they win somebody to Christ, and they come to know, you know, they have him as their Savior, and now you're what I sometimes call a grandfather in the faith. And you see that multiplied down through the years. And no doubt you can look back and you could look at those who are effective in your life and then notice there was somebody that was effective in their life. Okay? And so he's basically saying, pray that God would raise up some people like that that would just take that a little bit farther. So we find there their calling. Is verse number 3 down to verse 16, which we read, I would label this their commission. And as we look at this commission, the first thing I notice is in verse number 3, where he warns them of impending danger. He says, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. As a kid on the farm, I remember just a little bit about sheep. Not too many farmers have sheep, but we did. And there's a couple things I remember about them. One is they're very stupid. They're very smelly. And they're defenseless. So when God calls you and I sheep, it's not a compliment. Okay? And what's he saying about it? He's saying, hey, listen, I'm going to send you like sheep, and you're going to go into the presence of wolves. There are always wolves who are ready to devour defenseless lambs. And what is needed is a reliance upon the shepherd. It's absolutely necessary. And so there's where we come to Psalm chapter 23, and he says, what the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Tremendous psalm showing us that marvelous thought. But he's always necessary. Without the shepherd, without somebody to protect them, they'll wander away. They will be hunted down. They won't live long. Matter of fact, did you know if a sheep somehow lays down and gets turned over on its back, it can't even get up? They can't be back sleepers. They call that being cast. And a shepherd must pick that little sheep up and stand him upright because he won't be able to do it himself. Just some interesting thoughts concerning sheep. Well, we also find that he educated them on the provisions. God always takes care of us. Have you noticed that? Might not always be the way we want, but God always takes care of us. Needs are met one way or another. I've seen it. David said, I've been young and old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I had a guy one time call me and trying to beg some bread, and I quoted that verse. I must say it was probably not the best verse to quote to him because his reaction was not Christian. But nonetheless, we find that God takes care of us. So what's he say in verse 4? Down to verse 8, let's look at it again. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man, by the way. By the way, salute no man means you're not going to stop and chat with him all day. Okay? And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say peace be to this house. And if the son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. In other words, you go to a house, and if they will accept you in there, and that was one of the practices of that day, you come into a city, and if somebody invites you in your home, that became your motel stop for the night. Most of us as Americans would not be too excited with that prospect, but that was the way they did it. We had a number of years ago, some of you might remember Angela. She loved bike riding. Still does. And Ragbri's been called off this year. Well, she had taken the time off to go on Ragbri. And a couple of our other ladies, they've done that in the past. I don't know if our guys have. But she decided to do her own rag brag. And so every day on her Facebook post, she was showing where she's at and this and that. And I don't think she stayed in the motel the whole way. I don't know how she did it, but she stayed at somebody's house and they took care of her. That's kind of what they're talking about here. And he's saying, you go to this, and if they let you in, amen. And there you stay. And they will take care of you. Why will that happen? Because the labor is worthy of his hire. He says, don't jump around from here to there. You go to that house and stay there. And he says, eat such things as are set before you. Parents, if you have little children, there's a good verse for you. Amen? Even as broccoli. Set, you know, eat those things that are set before you. Anyways, that was their provision. And herein lies, I believe, a wonderful truth, and that is anyone who will feed you or do something for you also will listen to you. I heard a guy years ago, he says, if you're going to witness somebody, see if you can get them to do a little favor for you, because then they have invested themselves into you and they're more likely to listen to you. I thought, wow. That's always been a tough one to do, but nonetheless, I believe God has some purpose. And so we find that in this spot, there was an ability to have a base upon which to reach others. You know, when you got a base, it shows permanence to others. We started the church in 1979, and I don't know if you ever went by, but a little building, as a matter of fact, it looks like a palace compared to what it was back in those days, down on the corner of 34th and Avenue A. And at that time, there was a front door that was kind of cattywampus, and it had some glass windows in front, and we'd covered those windows on the inside with some plastic curtains because we were so rich. And that's where we met at. We were considered by most people as being temporary. And we had a few God's people who kind of checked us out, but I don't think saw stability there. And it took nearly 5 years before people believed that we meant business and were here to stay. And so people need to have that kind of thing. I've told this story, but our first building over here, we got monies for it given to us and so forth, and a family loaned us, was able to finish that off. But when we came to build this building, we didn't have enough money to finish it. And so I went to the bank, and I asked the banker for a loan. I remember the fellow's name. Some of you might remember Jim Beneke. And I asked him for a loan, and he says, how long you been there? I think at that time it would have been 13 years. And then he said, are you planning on staying there? And I said, well, I wasn't planning on going anywhere. And he said, all right, well, we'll take a look at this and I'll let you know in a day or two. I got a phone call and he says, come in, we'll sign papers. I had read in between that time that less than 1% of churches that do not have some kind of affiliation with what we might call a mother church do not get loans from banks. And so after we signed all the papers and it was all taken care of, I wasn't going to ask him before. I said, why did you loan us the money? And I told him about the article I read. And he said, you know, that's very true. He said, we'd loan every church money if we felt like they would pay us back. And he said, because of your stability staying there and your plan to stay there, we believe that you'll make sure that it's paid back. Because the guy who leaves and the next guy comes don't normally have the same kind of feeling about it, and they end up sometimes foreclosing on churches or needing to. Anyway, that's a whole story itself. But what we find is that we need to have stability. Flighty people have little influence on others. And so it's very necessary. Notice verse number 9 for a second there. He says, heal the sick that are therein and say to them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Show them you care for them. I don't know how that might be. You're probably not going to walk up to them and have a prayer cloth in your hand and hold on and say, and it gets healed. You know, by the way, I believe in faith healing, not faith healers. Amen? Can God heal? Yeah. I've seen it happen in my own life. But I don't believe in faith healers. You walk up to the front of the church, that's the only time it ever happens. They bonk you in the head and now you're healed. By the way, if faith healers are so good, why aren't they at all the hospitals right now? Just a thought. Anyway, what do we find? We find we ought to show them that we care. Now, we also notice in these verses, it talks about woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. He is saying those cities that reject the message will be severely judged. But go down to verse number 16. He that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despiseth you, despises me, and he that despiseth me, despises him that sent me. That reminds me of a verse in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. And of course, that verse goes on, so we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. And you and I, just like they, become the voice of God. God uses us in his place. That's what we're here for. Amen. Well, let's notice verse 17. Verse 17. We're going to find that they now have returned. It says, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Wow. So they come back to Jesus. By the way, this kind of shows me what happens with missionaries. You know, about every 4 or 5 years, missionaries come back home. They go to the churches that are supporting them, and they report in. We find that pattern actually from the book of Acts. But what's the purpose of that? That you and I might rejoice with them in what God has done. And also that we might be more effective in our praying for them. Thank God today for letters. Thank God for email and texts and things that can be very instant as far as our prayers are concerned. But they come back and they're excited. Excited that God had used them. And they see, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now notice what Jesus says. Verse 18, he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Remember what he said in verse number 3? Go forth as lambs. That would be their attitude, but notice what he does for them. Gives them power. And notice there, to tread on serpents and scorpions. How many of you like snakes? Honestly, I've had a man quit our church years ago because I said the only good snake's a dead snake. He took issue with that. That's my opinion, and you can have it or not have it. You can like it or not. I don't really care. It's just my opinion. But he says, I give you power to tread on them, walk on them, scorpions. I've only had one experience with scorpions, and it wasn't that personal. We took a group one time down to, we actually stayed in El Paso, Brother Steve Ziner's place, and had a group of teens, and one of them had a scorpion crawl on him during the night and scared the fire out of him. He knew what they could do. I didn't. But I learned from what they told me. And so we find a little dangerous creature there. He says, I give you power to walk on him. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. God says, that's what I've done for you. Notwithstanding, and I love this verse, in this rejoice not. That's not where we ought to really get excited. He says that the spirits are subject unto us, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Wow. tremendous thought. God gives us great abilities. God does marvelous things. And he says, what you ought to get excited about is you can get saved. You know, we hear about miracles. And we hear about people talking about miraculous things that take place. And we get all excited when we hear those things. And we seem to forget or ignore the fact that the new birth is a tremendous miracle. Can you think of anything better than rising from the dead? Can you think of anything that's going to be more spectacular than that which is dead being made alive? But is that not what the new birth is? We've been dead in our sins and trespasses, and the Holy Spirit of God enlivens us. He changes our family name from Satan's to God's. We're brought into family, and he is now our Father. And he says, this is what you ought to rejoice about, that your names are written in heaven. It's recorded. It's a sure thing that you can have because of the new birth. It's not church membership. It's not being baptized, it's not giving, it's not any of those things. It's accepting Jesus Christ. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Wow. Well, let's go to verse 21. It says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father. No man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son shall be revealed. And here we find the joy that is in the heart of Christ because of those who understood the marvelous message of God. Is there joy in heaven? We find in Luke chapter 15 that there is when one comes to Christ. Amen? And too often we who are alive on this earth, somebody gets saved and says, oh, that's nice. I wonder if you'll hold out. And we all be excited. Do people get excited when a baby's born? Yeah. Can you understand that baby? No, they come in crying. They come in complaining. And yet we're joyous about it. We're excited about it. And we can't wait to see the things that are going to take place in their life. Matter of fact, we get very apprehensive if it's not taking place in the time frame we think that it needs to. But there's great joy there. And by the like token, our Savior has great joy in seeing us accept the message and to see the changes that begin to take place in our life. Now let's notice one last thing. Verse 23. He turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. So what I believe is a prayer in verse 21 and 22 now becomes the very basis of remarks to his disciples. And talks about how it is such a blessed thing to be able to see the marvelous truth of God. Do you get excited when you read the Bible and you find something that perhaps you've seen before and it just comes alive again? Or perhaps the first time that you ever saw it and it's just such a marvelous experience. By the way, Christian, we ought to be experiencing that every day. Seriously. And allowing God to just speak to our hearts in that marvelous manner. But he's telling them, hey, listen, it's exciting. to see this in your life, and boy, I want you blessed. I want you blessed as a result of it. And we are blessed as a result of it. We got a great God, amen? And as we look here in this chapter, I'm not going to go any farther as far as talking about the lawyer in the next verse, but we find in this chapter, in these first 24 verses, it's talking about these 70 who have gone forth at the command of God, told it that he would take care of them. We find that he did take care of them. We find that we get down to verse 19 that he gave them power that they, as lambs, would not have. God used them to reach people for the Lord Jesus. They were able to prepare the way before him. And the Lord's excited because they saw the truth of all of that and began to practice it. You and I can excite God. Amen? And how marvelous it is that we have that kind of position. God's good. Amen? All right. I've never done this in Sunday school before. Just think about the goodness of God. Can you tell me something you say, boy, this was the goodness of God in my life this week? Anybody? Clear in the back, Donovan?
Yeah, I've been having some migraine issues and some other health problems, and they finally found out what was causing a lot of it. And I have an infection because of a tooth. So all I have to do is go in and basically get it taken out.
Okay. Well, amen. If you meet me in my garage after the service, we'll take care of that. By the way, just for your FYI, your teeth has a great deal to do with even your heart. I've been amazed at what I've learned about some of that stuff. Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. By the way, pray for Mrs. Nelson. She has a very severe infection in her colon. And she'll find out tomorrow what kind of action they're going to go. She was telling me this and how she waited and was basically put on hold for about a month, month and a half, maybe close to 2 months because of the COVID and just keeping people out of the hospital. Just really, I thought, man, poor lady. She had to endure because of that and be put on hold. So anyways, it's one of those frustrating areas. Anybody else? Praise the Lord, she's getting some help there. Amen. I'm trying to keep from saying that was a whole lot of ability because I know you. But anyway, that just gave me a hard time. Well, praise the Lord. That's good. Anybody else? God's good. All right. Well, we're going to have a word of prayer. And you've got about 10 extra minutes. I get done fast nowadays. You all notice that? The one thing I've noticed is I've not been getting any complaints about it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for a time together. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the richness of these verses and really what it means to us as we can allow you to work on our lives as these 70 did. Lord God, I pray that you would certainly use us and, Lord, you might multiply among us those who can labor. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.